Hey everybody, so before we jump into today's podcast, I just wanted to A, thank you guys, give you a little bit of a reminder. If you enjoy this content, however you're watching it, consuming it, please like, follow, subscribe, whatever you gotta do, comment on it if you can, leave us a review. It really helps us out and it can help grow our platform and reach more people. And if you know someone that can benefit from this, please share it with them. If you have a question, if you wanna reach out to us, let us know. And then lastly, we have all of our amazing programs, courses, and coaching available in the resources below. So check that out. Definitely take advantage of it. We have everything from free options all the way up to paid programs and everything in between to fit pretty much anyone's budget. And it's just a matter of how customized it's going to be based on the price point. So there's really something for everybody. Thank you guys. Let's get on into the episode. Well, Rob, we got part two here, y'all. We made it.
Yeah, finally, we did this. We take a while to plan things, though. We always are like that. So better late than never, right?
Yeah, and I think a part of it is, again, when you have life, schedule, we want to do it right. We didn't want to just kind of throw into it for you guys. We wanted to have our right setup, good mics, audio, and be in the right kind of headspace to be able to dig into it. Because even to recap from part one to part two, for those of you that might be actually stumbling across part two here and you maybe missed part one, I'll put the link below if you guys want to watch the full thing. Rob, and we were just kind of breaking down, you know, that initial kind of intro to your career of umpiring. You know, still the ups and downs, but most a lot of the up, the rise, the like overcoming things, the applying a growth mindset, getting the successes. And this is where things can kind of pivot a little bit. They take a little bit of a turn. And this is where some of the challenges come up. And that's why I thought, and I appreciate you being open to doing this, Rob, was it could be so powerful to dig into. It's not all just like sunshines and rainbows. There's a lot of challenges that came up along the way and some things that you're even still working through. So that's where we're going to kind of pick it up. So talk to us about, you know, we don't have to pick up exactly where we left it off, but where we're kind of leaving it was going through that transition in the pro part of it, going into the minor leagues, and then being able to now pivot and talk a little bit about, you know, what you were kind of thinking or see if we could tap into that time of where you wanted to make that transition and think, all right, maybe my baseball years are behind me.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, last we left it off was, you know, you overcame the odds, you reached your dreams, everything's all happy rainbows and bullshit and all that. And that's great and fun and dandy. And once you get into it, that's when you start realizing a lot of different things. So don't get me wrong. I loved umpiring professional baseball. And I realized what kind of person I was there. And I realized what kind of umpire I was there. And, you know, my, it was my second season in A-ball. We were in the New York Penn League and I got a concussion towards the end of the season. And it was really unfortunate because I was looking at doing the championships. I was looking at doing the All-Star game. I think I was on it, but I had to be taken off. And that concussion knocked me out for a while. And Mike, you actually, of all people, picked me up from upstate New York a few days after I got that concussion and brought me back to Long Island. So I had to travel back and forth between Pittsburgh for 5 months because my concussion really wasn't that great. It was a bad concussion. When I got back on the field, it was spring training and I was with the Washington Nationals and I was the rookie on my crew. And the way it worked, you know, it was almost like, you know, umpiring is a brotherhood, just like any team, fraternity, whatever it may be. Umpiring was a brotherhood and you respected the ways of the people that came before you. And if you didn't, like, you really should have, but that's what we did. And when I was the rookie on my spring training crew, my crew chief was the head of our union. So he was like, you know, an important deal. And my entire crew treated me so well. They were so good to me. And this is really like what I'm about to say is almost like a direct explanation to them on what happened that year and why I left and why I left the way I did. And it's been bothering me for a decade now. But I remember being on the field. And I remember counting down the innings until when I could get off the field. And I've never done that before. I always said when I stop having fun is when I'm going to stop umpiring. And I just remember being on the field that day in the on the bases. And I was just like, I really want this game to end. And we were in the third inning. And I was like, what's happened to my passion for umpiring? And I knew exactly what it was. I knew deep down, I didn't like those confrontations in front of a couple thousand people with people nose to nose with me screaming at me. To be honest, it was uncomfortable. I didn't like it. I had to try to make it look like I wasn't. And it was really difficult. And still to this day, it's difficult for me to be anything that I'm not. I can't fake it. It's tough. I didn't really like that. And umpiring started to feel a little bit more like a job. And I felt, you know, I was intimidated. I was a young umpire who, as happy as I was to be living my dream, and as proud of myself as I was, it was more difficult than I expected.
And remind everyone really quick, just to pause, how old you are at this time, because this is an important factor in my opinion as well.
I was 21, not even 22 yet, maybe 22. And, you know, at the time I was seeing somebody and we were dating about a year, and, you know, I didn't know any better back then, but I was thinking towards my future, you know, do I want to travel like this? Do I want to have a family? Do I want to be away from that family? And the answers were all no. And if my answers were no, all I could think about was, you know, somebody in a league lower than me who was hungrier than me that wanted my spot. And if I was that kid, I would really hate somebody like myself above them who was just sitting in a spot. So it was the day before Easter, I think it was. I was in Cortland doing family stuff, and I called my boss and I put in my resignation. And I told him exactly for the reasons I told you. And the day I resigned was the day I actually got a promotion to another league called the South Atlantic League. So I moved up, and that same day I resigned. And I remember I got the phone call when I was with all of my spring training crew. Remember, there were six of us. And these were guys who I knew from previous seasons and guys who I just met. And they all said to me, they were like, "Why you should be more excited." And I was like, no, I am. But in the back of my head, I knew I was going to be resigning. And, you know, with my spring training crew and, like, especially my crew chief, I told you before, they treat me so well. And, you know, when we go out, for example, like, I would know what my crew chief was drinking. And if his glass was half empty, I'd go get him, you know, another drink, no problem. In return, they took care of the check and took care of me. But I would have, you know, the bags ready in the morning, the car warm, you know, everything out front ready to go. So crew chief didn't have to do anything and the rest of the guys can do their stuff. And in return, like I said, they treated me with the utmost respect, and having my crew chief be the head of the union was such a big thing for me. And at the time, I didn't even understand all of that. You know, all I knew was that I was umpiring pro baseball. So when I left, I didn't tell any of the guys, and I didn't tell anybody close to me. I only told Bob from back home with AFU, who we'll talk about more later, and my family. And I remember my crew chief called me like the day after, because he knew, he found out I left, and I never answered, and I never called him back, and I never texted him. And I remember some of the other guys texting me, and I ignored them. It was really like, I didn't know how to handle it, because I didn't know what to say after, you know, spring training, being with them and being so involved in the game and showing them how much I loved it. All of a sudden, the last few games, I'm like, oh, guess what? I don't like it anymore. Now I'm going to leave. Even though I've explained to you, this is what I've been wanting to do my whole life. How do you tell somebody that? You know, how do you make them understand that? And I was just so ashamed with the way I left, because I never gave an explanation to the guys. And that brotherhood that I talked about, to me, I felt like I betrayed. And I always really felt bad about that. But I guess, you know, at the time, I was so confused. And all I knew was that I didn't want to be there in that time, and that somebody else would be better in my position. And I just felt like that was the best way to go out. But I wish I handled it different. I wish I was more open about it with people. I wish I spoke about how I was feeling at the time with other umpires. I don't regret leaving, but I regret just not being as open about it as I could have been.
Yeah. And I kind of now bringing it back to unpack a bit of what you said there, and to tie it back into even to what we talked about in part one, and just what I know about you as a person, of how hard you've worked, and just the kind of not only work ethic, but the traits and qualities and values you have within yourself. And like you said, with it being a brotherhood and all the things that you sacrificed, and like the kind of even just the rapport that you built, again, that pressure you can kind of feel of like, well, how do I even do this? How do I then? And like you said, what kind of came to my mind is almost like, you know, like just ripping a Band-Aid off instead of like slowly pulling it off. You just kind of just got to cut ties and move forward because it was such a hard decision. And like, you could see, even I could see it, at least I can't speak for everyone else around you, but like, you could kind of see like very clearly, especially anyone that knows you, is like how it weighed on you and the thought process. And even like, again, I know you mentioned not wanting that necessary controversy or having that conflict in your face, which is a huge variable amongst many other things. Because again, I go back to you were 21, 22. Think about everyone else watching there. Like, think about if you're not 21, 22, like even where you're at now, but when you were 20, 21, 22, like, dude, you were working with the best in your field at the highest level of a profession, trying to make a career out of something, while like most kids are just either like in college or getting out of college and trying to still figure out their life and making that transition. And it's a weird component. And there's a lot to ask of such a young age and that maturity to do it. So I think even just by being willing to do this, and that's why I was like so excited, maybe excited is not the best word, but you know, really open to you doing this and wanting to have this platform because of that and to provide that opportunity to do it.
And, you know, we talk about age, like the only thing I was thinking about at that age was, am I having fun umpiring? I'm 33 now. If I could go back and change things, I probably would do things a little differently. I probably would ask myself more things like, well, you're umpiring baseball. You're 33. You're making X amount of money and you're with the boys. You know, that would be a factor. But at the end of the day, what made me leave was, you know, I didn't really like having guys in my face. I didn't really like being confrontational. I didn't like that pressure. I just wanted to umpire. You know, umpiring has always been something I did that was fun. It made me just feel great. I can't express it. I just love to umpire. But at that point, I wasn't having as much fun, you know, and that's all I was thinking about at the time. And I don't regret that either, because at the end of the day, I want to do something that I'm having fun with and something that I love. But you know, that happened, and that was a big learning experience. And then I remember that next year, I wanted to make sure I didn't make a mistake. So I went to an independent league with the Long Island Ducks called the Atlantic League. And I went there, and I wasn't feeling it either. And that's when I knew my passion to be a professional umpire had been fulfilled. I'm proud to say I did it. I'm proud to say I accomplished it. But it's not the storied career I thought I was going to have. And dealing with that after leaving was the hardest process of them all. And it took a long time to really get over and get back to basics, you know? So that's what happened with that.
And even just pulling back, like, because I think again, to look at this from that angle of, again, you reached the goal, which is especially at 22, like let's even say 23 after the independent league and you realize like, all right, now I have to make this transition. Like, I think a lot of people out there can relate. And I think it takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength to be able to not only, first off, realize your dream, to have a dream from 15, 14 years old, even like 12, if you really want to go back to like when you first started umpiring, like you talked about in part one, but to then realize it and then to acknowledge in your own mind, like, all right, I got what I wanted from this. I had certain principles in place that I wanted to make sure I was maintaining. And the quality of life now is not something I want. Like, it's not leading me to the quality of life that I want. And being able to take action on that, because a lot of people, I'm sure you've been watching this, and I see a lot of people living their day-to-day lives out of fear because they're like, well, I put so much into this, even though it's not what I want anymore, this is what's expected of me. This is what I was supposed to do. This is what I told myself I was going to do. And instead of doing something that makes them happy and shifting that focus, they just keep grinding and basically wearing themselves down. So I wonder, even like, I know this sounds weird to look at as a positive or a strength from the situation, but what do you attribute the ability to even doing that to being able to walk away and have that mindset and strength to do that?
I mean, you got to be self-aware, you know, at the end of the day, like I wasn't happy anymore, but I was even unhappier knowing that I was going to be an umpire just there to be there. I never wanted to be that. And I don't know many umpires in there, you know, in the game back then or now even who are there just to be there. It's not a thankful job. It's a thankless job. You know, you got to love what you do. And I just really think someone else deserved it more than me because I wasn't in that mindset. And that's how I felt about that. You know, I just felt like I let everyone down. You know, I felt like I let AFU down. I felt like I let Bob down. I felt like I let my friends down. And most of all, like, I felt like I let my family down. And I didn't. That was the thing. But it felt that way, you know, because everyone was so excited and invested in that journey. And it was such a story and it was so much fun. And then it's over. And now it's like, now what, you know? And then that was the main question I asked myself when I left was, now what? Like, this is all I thought about doing since I was 12. I didn't invest in anything in college or think about anything down the road. I knew I wanted to run a skate shop, and that was a whole nother story. But I mean, where was my future plan? Where was my, you know, set up for my future? And I didn't have one. And that's when life got tricky. So I kind of want to bring in, like, when I went back to the American Federation of Umpires and when I went back to Bob Fontaine's organization, who Bob is somebody who's played such an essential role in my umpire career. I would not be anywhere without Bob or my father. And I always bring up both of them because they both played so many roles. But Bob, with the umpire experience he had and with the platform he had, letting me into that organization when I was 15, when he, you know, had maybe some 20 year olds as the youngest guys there, he really took a chance on me. And he told me he took a chance on me because he knew how passionate I was about the game. So, you know, I just felt like I let him down. And I knew that, I know now, obviously, that was furthest from the case. But when I went back, I was so confused. I didn't know what to do. Like, I knew I wanted to umpire, but if I'm not umpiring at the top of my game, why umpire at all? That was my mindset. So I accepted some games with Bob and did them. And then all of a sudden I didn't like it anymore. And I remember, like, I started putting on weight to the point where my pants wouldn't fit me anymore. And I didn't want to get new equipment. And it was just one stupid thing after the other. And I just stopped showing up and I just left. And I didn't say anything. I just left this time. And that, dealing with that was harder than dealing with the pros, because these are people who I had established relationships with for well over a decade. And I knew they knew I was still young. I knew Bob knew that I was still very conflicted with umpiring because he knew the headspace I was in. But to do that was shit. And to stop talking to some of these guys who I've known for so long was shitty. After Bob had me come in when I come back from umpire school and talk in front of the class, and people come up to me and gave me all this respect and thanks and you know, just helping everybody and being a part of that family in AFU, you know, to do that was shitty. And I felt so bad about myself. I didn't know what to do. And that alone is a story, you know, dealing with that. And that's kind of what I wanted to focus on in this, was the failures and going about things wrong. I don't think I failed in my career, but I failed in the way I handled things at the time. And to me, my reputation is worth more than my career. When people say my name, I want them to be like, he's a guy we could count on. He's a guy you could always call on. But it wasn't like that. And at this point in my career, I'm still rebuilding that, you know, but to know that, that was the hardest of them all. And I'm sure, like, you know, you've heard stories like that before, or maybe could even relate to, you know.
Dude, 100%. It's, I think, again, going back to those core values and that, you know, wanting to live up to the expectations you set for yourself, not even in the career development side of things, which is one component, but how you think you're going to kind of handle yourself in a situation. Now, I'll share a story that's different, obviously, in the career path, but it's relevant here, because at one point when I was, let's say I got into competing and fighting, I got into it kind of late, like 20 years old, when I was going through some struggle, or 19, I was going through some like struggles and like, you know, college and not knowing what I wanted to do with my own life. And when I found out, I had some back injuries from my second MMA fight. And I took fights after that. And I ended up taking 3 fights after that. 2 of them I lost. And then the third one, the week of the fight, I actually went to weigh-ins. It was like the Thursday before, Friday were the weigh-ins. And then, I'm sorry, Friday was before. It was Saturday morning of weigh-ins and then fight. I actually pulled out of the fight the day before. Like, I had a management company. Like, I had climbed the ropes in the amateur scene to make it. Like, this was like a couple of steps before going pro. And I pulled, and this was like, I was like, I will never pull out of a fight. I never want to do that to an opponent. I never want to put someone in that position. And I ended up pulling out mostly because of health related thing. Like, I literally started having issues to the point where my back were like, I had numbness and I couldn't move my legs. And there was issues with the weight cut and all these things. And amongst other components, I won't even go into here, but like, you think you can act a certain way. And then you realize, like, I did very similar. Like, I told them, I was like, yeah, I'm pulling from this. And then I just cut my phone. I'm like, I have to just walk away from this because it's so painful. And it's so almost like embarrassing to want to say you did something that you didn't think you would do. But the ability to then face that and then have the character and have the core values to want to say, hey, this is what's important to me. I'm going to rebuild. And in my situation, I was able to change. I didn't go back to MMA because of those physical limitations I had to this day. Like, I'm in pain right now, to be honest with you guys. But I was able to shift that and go into kickboxing and Muay Thai and have a professional career because of it and have all the opportunities I have now. And I say all that to say, like, even with you, Rob, to turn back and to face those things, to now even be back with AFU and to being able to pursue that piece of it and to man up and look in the mirror and look at those people, look them in the eyes and have those conversations. You could have kept running, right? So I wonder, even to that standpoint, you know, to everyone out there listening, like, not only what you credit that piece to, but what would you tell them based on your experience here and how you handled it, what you saw, and what you would recommend for someone else, maybe in a similar situation or a different situation. It's like, I don't know what to do.
I think if you're dealing with a situation similar to what you just said about your own story or similar to my story, if you're in that story to begin with, it's because it's your passion. And I don't think there's really any advice I could give anyone. I think you just know what the right or wrong thing to do. I think you know what the right or wrong thing is, you know, what you're doing at the time. You know what I'm trying to say. I can't get the words out. But you want your reputation and your passion to be good. I don't know anyone who has a passion who doesn't want that themselves to have a good reputation. Who wants to go into MLB, NHL, NBA and go, I want to be the best ever, but I want to have a shit reputation. Nobody. You've never heard of that in your life. It's all about doing the right or wrong thing for yourself at the end of the day. And I don't have any advice. I think everybody is more than self-aware enough to know what that answer is. The other question, I don't remember what you said.
You very much handled and hit that. And I think that was kind of all bundled into the same question. Into that, I think that's a really interesting and wise thing to say from that self-awareness standpoint. That's even something I deal with from like health coaching and like some of the other things that I do from a coaching perspective is like, and this is what I tell a lot of clients, is like, you're the expert on you. You know, yeah. And you mentioned it, like, from a self-awareness, you know what's right for you. You know what you believe. You know what your values are. So live by those things. And it's hard sometimes, though, to have the influences from external factors of other things you're considering, right? Like, I imagine it was probably hard to walk away too, because like, hey, I'm going to have to, it's like you said, how can I explain this to them? I just told them all season long and all the sacrifices I've made that this is what I wanted, but I actually internally, it's shifted for me. And it's okay to have those shifts, but to then be able to not only know that, but to understand no one. And if someone does judge you, from my experience, usually they're judging you from a place that's from within themselves of disappointment and displeasure, not because of what you did they're unhappy with. Sometimes maybe, but for the most part, it's because of their own challenges or things that are coming up internally. So I kind of wanted to like pause just really here for a quick second, because we touched on some really, I'll say heavy things for lack of a better term, but also I think there's some positives to highlight. Again, going back to the core values, being able to say adversity is going to happen no matter what you do. It's a matter of how you handle it. That's kind of what I'm hearing from this as well. So I wanted to kick it to you, Rob, to see like from all this experience, what are some of the biggest takeaways you have that you would either tell 20-year-old Rob or just anyone looking ahead, and how it's impacted how you handle yourself in the future? Because the cool thing, I don't know if you consider this cool, is like, I see what you've done with your life and your career and your own development, and you can see the positive impact these past experiences have had and how you handle yourself now because of your work ethic and the core values that you hold yourself up to. So I wonder, what are some of the takeaways from this that you think are highlights or at least some strong power points?
You know, I definitely found out how self-aware I am as a person and how right my gut always is, and learn to always listen to that. But I've also learned at the same time, you can't be impulsive. You need to talk these things out with people, especially people who are in the same situations as you, who do the same profession as you, because I'm sure they've been through it too. People who have been in it longer than I have or you have way more experience. That's an untapped treasure of knowledge. And you should always, anyone I ever work with who's been doing it longer than me, not even if they have it, it's just, that's a new treasure. That's a new treasure chest. Thank you. To open and unlock all this information that you might have not thought about before. It's all about how you carry yourself, and don't expect to get respect when you're not respecting yourself and you're not respecting what you're doing. And I remember when I wanted to come back to AFU. Now, at this point, I had taken a few seasons off. So it's been a few years since I spoke to Bob at this point. And I was too embarrassed to call Bob. So I called somebody else. I called Anthony Carbonaro. He's with Blue Umpires, and now AFU and Blue. We are one group called the AFU Blue Group. And, I was talking to Anthony, and I gave him my background, not remembering we had already umpired and met each other years ago. And he stops, a few minutes into the conversation. He goes, "Rob?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "It's me." I go, "Anthony?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Why are you calling me?" He goes, "Why don't you call Bob?" I go, "Holy crap, Anthony." I go, I messed up. I told him what I did and how I felt a little bit. He's like, "Dude, just call him. Trust me." So I went for a walk and I called up Bob and I said to him, "I got a lot to say, but the first thing is I am sorry with how I handled everything a few seasons ago and how I just stopped showing up." I go, "I don't know what more to say besides I was in a very confused headspace and made wrong choices." And he said, "That's all you had to say. Welcome back." And I was with him. And then, when I went back, I did a season or two, and I said, I want to work a lighter schedule. And they understood. And now, I'm with them still, and I'm umpiring with them now. And it's been 21 years of being an umpire now at this point in my life. And now, I'm having fun on the field. Now I'm working a schedule that works for me, that doesn't overload me, where I don't burn myself out, because this is one of the first times where I'm on the field where I'm not evaluating myself, where I'm not like, "Oh, is my toe pointed towards the base correctly?" Or, "Oh, how is my mechanic on that?" Or, "Oh, I got to beat myself up and do this." Don't get me wrong, I'm always self-improving and I always will, but I'm back to basics. I feel like I'm 12 years old again, back on the little league field, just umpiring and having fun. And, it's finally nice to admit to Bob and Anthony and the guys, my 15 minutes of fame ended a long time ago. And I think that was really a hard thing to adjust to, because it was like growing up kind of, I felt like the man, and now I'm not really the man anymore. And that's fine, because I always umpired, and this goes back to why I left the minors. I left because I wasn't having fun anymore. Now I'm having fun. Now I'm working with new umpires and guys who want to learn new things. And I'm at a point where I have that knowledge and I have that experience where I can offer them my own, knowledge and be that guy for guys who came before me and taught me. And I told them, I said, "All I want to do at this point is help my organization, who has stuck by me for 18 years, who has never turned their back on me, who has always welcomed me back with open arms. I just want to come back and help. And, I don't care if I have to work a 12-year-old game. I don't care if I have to work a college game. Like, whatever help you guys need and whatever umpires you want me to work with to help, even if you don't, that's fine. I just want to umpire." And now at this point, I get that. And it's awesome and I'm having fun. But don't get me wrong, like, I still feel to this day that I am rebuilding my reputation in AFU, because I think I should. Like, I fucked up. Plain and simple. I went about things the way I left minor league baseball and the way I just stopped umpiring with AFU completely. I fucked up and handled it the wrong way. And the only way to show that, that's not you anymore is just to keep showing up. And that goes back to what I said in the last time we spoke. Like, if you want to be successful, and I've always told you this, just show up. But when you stop showing up, you can't do shit. And I stopped showing up. And that's why I failed. But I don't know. It felt good to get all that stuff out, though.
powerful knowledge being dropped up. And I think, again, there's I say unpack a lot, and there's a lot to unpack there. And I think one of the things that is kind of resonating with me that I'm curious to hear, if I'm just kind of hearing you right, and if this is going to make sense, is the pressure that you can put on yourself, not just you, but in general, us as people can put on ourselves when you feel like you're at the top, when you're that big fish in the small pond or big fish in any pond, or you have that big kind of fish clout. That pressure you can put on yourself, like champs feel this a lot. And like, even when I was fighting and when I had my undefeated record, like I was fortunate enough, I decided to retire. So I was retiring undefeated, but like, there's a pressure that comes with that. And champions will share that anyone. And like any, I think you got like everyone listening could probably relate this to one capacity or another, is feeling pressure of expectations of like, all right, you've set the bar really high. Now there's pressure to be able to maintain and see that through. And it can almost be a sense of relief to finally let that get off of you and to wash over. And even by having this conversation, it kind of seems like being able to put that out there, right? To be able to share this message and be able to say like, all right, I'm finally acknowledging all these things and letting go of a lot of that. That can just feel like a great release. And to your point, I think it speaks to your character to want to continuously focus on rebuilding the reputation, where some people can be like, all right, I got Bob's approval. Okay. Like I can move on with my life. And one thing you've mentioned to me, even off of calls like this, is just being able to pass along feedback. And that's so, I think, valuable beyond maybe what we will know in the moment, but think about all the people that have helped you. And now think about the opportunity you're getting by paying that forward and the willingness you have with that.
This last weekend, I got to the field, and there were like six guys in college umpiring with us, and I never met them before. And I was like, this is so awesome to see like new umpires. And then I realized like, oh, I'm like the old guy here now. And like, I'm the one who's been doing this. And to be able to just talk to them and bullshit and share experiences was awesome. I love stuff like that. I just love to umpire. But now I get to do it on Long Island, not really having a crazy travel schedule, still being able to see my friends and family. And I get to not work every single day, you know, like it's really nice. And I forget I make money doing it. I swear to God, like I forgot to get my cash fee from a guy once. I was like, right, I get paid, you know, and that's the goal. When I did that day, I was like, I'm back where I need to be. I'm having fun again. That was when I knew. But yeah, you know, I'm glad, like, not everything in a story is shit and rainbows. Like, not everything's perfect. And, you know, you see it on social media all the time. And even I'm guilty of this, where sometimes I probably come off way more successful than I am. I'm not unsuccessful. But what you see isn't my everyday life. You know, what you see in anybody else's pictures isn't everyday life. Like, everybody has their struggles. And everybody, like, deals with things on a very personal basis, and nobody focuses on the failures. And like, I think it's so important to focus on failure. I don't ever want to hear what I do great. I know what I do great. I don't need a reminder of it. I want to know what I do shitty at. Like, and I want somebody to be upfront and honest with me and tell me, you're somebody who's always been upfront and honest with me and has told me. And when you first started doing that, it was a real hard pill to swallow, but it makes you grow. You know, I remember during the pandemic when I got back into baseball two seasons ago, my brother was like, you know, you're not shit anymore as an umpire, right? And I was like, yeah. And he didn't mean it maliciously, I'm sure, but it really made me think. I was like, yeah, my days are over. Like, I'm just another umpire, and that's fine. That's kind of all I want to be. You know, I lived my dream. I got to do everything I wanted to do. That's that. Case closed. Boom.
Wrap. And even just to be able to have that mindset of not thinking like, oh, having resentment towards it, being appreciative is what I'm kind of hearing your mindset around, is appreciative to those opportunities, to the people that helped you, and the ability and even the opportunity to pay it forward, and having gratitude towards it. And even to your point, Rob, like this idea of, yeah, like, and I think you captured it perfectly. I was going to say that you took the words out of my mouth on social media, and like, I can be guilty of it. And we share like all the successes and the wins, which are great to share, but, you know, being able to understand and peeling the curtain back, there's a lot of failures. There's a lot of, you know, difficulties that you have to overcome, sacrifices and conflict that comes up. And that's something that I always am passionately sharing with clients and people. And that's why I try and be not like brutally honest to the point where I'm just hurting people, but being transparent enough so that there can be a perspective when someone's ready for it. And honestly, with you, dude, I've always been transparent because I knew you were able to handle it. I'll be honest, I'm not always as brutally honest with everyone because some people can't handle it, to be honest, like the unfortunate reality of it is. So that's something I can always speak to you and where you're at is like, you've always been able to do that. And like you said, like, I know what I'm doing good. Don't tell me that. Tell me where I need to work on. I'm with you on that. And one, I guess the last thing I want to leave it with was, weird enough person to quote here to reference, but Steve Harvey of all people, which I think is a really, you know, he's the kind of celebrity and whatnot and has the game show, but he's actually like a very successful entrepreneur, very successful person. And the one thing I saw on social media that was interesting is like, he's like, dude, I still got dirt on me in the sense of like, I've had failures and things that come up and maybe I'm not perfect, but in order for a seed to grow, it's got to be put in the dirt. You can't put a seed in concrete and see it grow. You have to be able to have that dirt, have the failures, like things that I honestly, I'm not always proud about every single choice that I've made, but where it's just uncomfortable to go through it, but it makes us who we are in that moment and being able to see where we can go. So I challenge everybody to get some dirt on you with what you just kind of said, Robin. Also, I appreciate you coming on to share this because it's not something that everyone would necessarily want to do when it takes a strong person basically to be able to do that. So props to you, man.
Thanks for, you know, allowing me to use your platform and get this out there. Cause it is something that I've been wanting to get out there for a while. And we don't even dig to like the nights where you're staying up about it or feeling not well over it. You know, that goes without said, but yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad we got to have this conversation. It was fun. It's always a good time. I mean, we were literally just FaceTiming for like 45 minutes before this. So it's always an easy conversation.
Science. That's a fact. Boom. That's what makes it fun, just to be able to like chat about this and unpack, because we talk about it anyway. So that's what we always talk about, like being able to record more of our conversations. Because dude, like there's a lot of key points that come up. I'm like, shit, I wish I would have recorded.
How many times do we do that where we're like, damn it, we should have like recorded this whole conversation? But yeah. All right, man.
Yeah, everybody. Right, wait, I hope you enjoy.
One last thing. What do I got to do to get one of those hats, bro? I like that.
Dude, can I just show you? Where's my phone right now? I'm going to be really honest.
It's got the blue over there. You know I like the blue and black and white. Come on, man.
Hold on. I've had this on my phone as a notification every single day.
What? Send Rob Snapback. Bro, I've had this. Oh, I like hats.
I've had this on my phone since COVID hit, like 18 months ago. And I just keep pushing it off and pushing it off. So I'll be real honest with you. I keep saying I'm going to ship it. Probably what's going to happen is when we come up to New York in October, fall, yeah. I'm going to have a bunch of our hats and I'll just bring you some gear. Or if I ever, I'm going to sell you on the idea of coming down.
If I come down, I'll get one. And if you come up, I'll remind you every day for 2 weeks to bring one up. And then you're still going to fucking forget to bring it. I'm going to be like, you son of a goddamn bitch.
Like, I told you.
I got two.
But for those that do want to get the hat that I'm not going to send it to you, you can also order below with our link because we got our apparel line, all that good stuff. Fun plug for the hats below and all of our apparel.
I only get a free one because I've, you know, known him 25 years and dealt with a lot of childhood trauma with you.
A lot of shit, a lot of stories, and just the support that's gone with it too.
Life of a fighter. All right, man. Good times. Yeah, thanks again.
Yeah, y'all.
All right, later.
So I just wanted to say thank you guys again for watching, listening, consuming that episode. If you guys enjoyed it and you haven't already, please like, please comment. If you haven't reviewed, please leave a review. If you haven't followed or subscribed, please do that as well. Again, it tremendously helps us out. And then just a quick reminder, if you guys want more resources, we have them below. We have our programs, everything from free all the way up to paid and kind of everything in between. Dial in with the customization, and we have more information on different programs and resources in our newsletter. So if you haven't signed up for that, do so below. It's free. And that is it, y'all. See you on the next one.